This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
And top of the morning. Western Idaho Fair starts tomorrow. Jim Tibbs, our special guest. Ada County Commissioner, been a veteran politician in southwestern Idaho for years and years and years.
And it hardly and the police before that, right?
Yes.
It hardly seems possible that the fair's here already.
Yes, it just seems like yesterday.
It does.
And yet it's tomorrow.
And here it is tomorrow. Yes, it starts and runs through the 27th of the month. So people need to get it together. And go to the fair several times.
Today's the last day you can save money on.
Right. This is the last day to get the discount tickets, and it's so that's a pretty good deal. And we'd like to see a lot of people. What's really exciting is the concert lineup.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the best one they've had for years. Scotty McCrary, Huey Lewis in the News, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, and Trace Adkins. That will be a lot of fun.
A little bit of something for everybody.
Yep.
I remember when Scotty McCreery was on American Idol,
And
then he ended up being a pretty big country star.
Oh, yeah.
And then Huey Lewis in the News.
Oh, from the 80s.
Yes. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, also from the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And Trace Adkins has been a country star for a long time.
Got that deep voice that I can't even do.
That's right.
So, you know, as a special kickoff, it's not really a special kickoff, but tomorrow... You have the total eclipse of the fair because of the big eclipse coming in.
But it's Monday, actually.
Monday. I'm sorry. Tomorrow is only Saturday.
And the gates will open at 10 a.m.,
right,
usually at 11, so an hour earlier.
That's right. The $7 admission will get you into the grandstands if you want to go and sit there. And you have a chance to win a ride on the giant Ferris wheel.
Right.
Plus,
we're trying to figure out what you could see from up there.
Well, you're close. You are slightly closer to the sun.
Yeah.
So
no, it'll be less dark up there.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Yeah, it is, and you can see the what little bit of smog we have.
Good point.
That's right, and root balls.
Yes,
root balls in the river.
Exactly. You can see those from the top of the Ferris wheel.
And you've become very computer friendly this year with the Western Idaho Fair app.
Mm-hmm.
You can download that. What kinds of things can you get?
Well, you can make your own schedule. You can if you download the app, it'll display all the different exhibits, the carnival, and you can kind of pick and choose where you want to go and set the time and just make it easier for folks to navigate the fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll really help.
People can show up and be looking at their phone without having to, wander around trying to find the programmer.
They'll have their head down, so be careful when you walk.
Yeah. Walk into a ride.
That's right. When that big fountain out in the middle.
Exactly.
Right. We've all seen the video.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it sounds like it's going to be a really good fair.
Yeah. This is, like I said, I think this is probably the best that they've had in years. Now, hopefully the weather cooperates. And that the eclipse, it does end.
Yeah.
So.
Who knows what's going to happen with this thing, but people go from wild-eyed fanaticism to, so what? Be interesting to see how it all comes out.
Well, all the experts are saying that there's going to be a huge traffic backup if you're trying to relocate for the eclipse. I'd encourage people just to come down to the fair, the fairgrounds, go into the grandstands and sit and watch it from there in the comfort of a bench.
Oh, I like that. Perfect. You can even eat something while you do.
That's right.
Other things going on. In just about a minute here, we have to take a break and go to traffic, but... West Nile virus apparently is upon us once again. It's been found in multiple locations here in Ada County.
Yeah, it's still finding them in the test sites. There's about 160 test sites around, still finding them. Weed and pest mosquito abatement, those folks will be fogging a square mile around the areas that have tested positive. So they're really working hard at trying to keep the mosquito numbers down.
I guess some dead birds were found because they were bitten by mosquitoes.
Dead birds, and I want to encourage anybody who finds a dead bird to call Chris Walton.
Uh-huh.
I'll
run right out to your place and check that thing out.
No, don't call Chris. Yeah. Call Mosquito Abatement Office.
That's a good
and
idea.
That's available on our website. And let them know about it.
Squirrels as well.
Squirrels, yeah. I mean, because that's a real problem. That's if people start to see a lot of dead birds and small rodents.
And we remind everybody that there's no evidence you can actually get West Nile virus from handling a dead bird, but it's probably best not to do that with your bare hands anyway.
You know, I have always found it to be a good practice that anything dead, you need to wear some kind of protective handwear.
I'm going to agree with that. Yeah.
It's budget?
Budget.
Want to talk about the budget?
We will. We're going to have to go to a break here. KBOY News Time, it's 8:40.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOY.
KBOY News Time, 8:50. Talking logistics. Where will you be?
Mm-hmm. When the eclipse...
Has the county, speaking of...
Springs upon us.
Speaking of all this, has the county done anything special for the eclipse?
No, not really. it's coming. I mean, what can you do? We're having an affair.
Yeah.
not having an affair. That didn't sound right.
No, yeah, it didn't sound right at all.
We're having a Western Idaho fair.
We have the Western Idaho fair. That's right. Yeah, nothing really. I mean, it's only going to last, 2 minutes?
Yeah, we'll do 2.5 minutes.
And Chris can hold his breath for 2 minutes, so.
In theory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I can eat constantly for 2 minutes, so I guess I can hold my breath during that. Okay, fiscal year 18 budget.
Yes.
It was apparently passed.
It was. We now have a budget for next year. Not just a budget, but a balanced budget. That's always really good. And we ended with a decision on $252,009,045.
You
really cut the budget. No, $252,009,045. And I tried to cut that $45 off anyway. I'm always amazed at how much work goes into the budget because that isn't just like 2 or 3 weeks. I think I've mentioned before, it starts in February and ends like this last Tuesday.
Right.
Finally, a lot of people get involved in it. Really, they really work hard. They do the best that they can. There's always way more ask for stuff than we have money for. But we have very understanding other elected officials and directors. And everybody works together. We appreciate it. That's about a $20 million increase over this year's budget. And I think I mentioned last time I was here that not to worry, that money is, we have that. It's money for the landfill for closing Hidden Hollow. Mm-hmm. Almost said Hidden Springs. We're going to close Hidden Springs too. No, just kidding. The eclipse will.
So,
they have to close the Hidden Hollow and also finish the opening of the North Ravine cell. So that money is already in the bank, and we just have to put it on our budget so that we can spend it.
A couple other projects that are in the budget, Penitentiary Canal.
That's been something that has been needed for quite some time. That's a pretty rough shape, especially after this last winter. We are going to use $1.3 million of the foregone, will go to just improve that, make it at 1.65 miles, make it wider, safer, smoother, and I think folks will really, really enjoy that. And if anybody's interested in really getting into the weeds on the budget, you can view the entire budget online. That should be really interesting reading. You might want to try to open that up during the eclipse and
with a flashlight
to help pass the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a we're very pleased with it. So
I've heard it's riveting.
Yeah, it's riveting, and if budget excites you, never mind. I won't finish that. Finish that sentence.
Let's talk more about the. You mentioned the green belt.
Yes.
Green belt repairs, of course, have to be done after this, or after these last several months.
Big cleanup.
There's one particular area, and it's where we call it Sunrock section. They're by Sunrock Concrete, and that's kind of a weak area of the riverbank. So it's not just repairing the green belt. What we need to do is to repair. Actually, there needs to be a lot of repair done to the riverbank itself because it is a weak spot. Then if we have another winter like we had this last winter and we have to run a lot of water or the Corps has to run a lot of water down the river, we're going to have the same problem. So we're going to try to take some steps to prevent that from happening this next year. So the Corps of Engineers is going to be doing a study, and they're going to really assess what the problem is. And once we figure out what changes we can make, then we're going to have to discuss making those changes.
And so how long it'll take.
There's a funding issue that could be involved, and we don't know yet. But we have to get that study done first.
But you'll be using heavy equipment to work as quickly as possible,
yes.
And you just want people's patience.
Yeah. I think we're going to be discussing here very soon, maybe as soon as today, about with the condition that area is in right now, can we open up a portion of that and allow people to use that. So I don't know how that's going to turn out, but we'll have a discussion about it today.
But ideally, people would not trespass during the time that,
We hope not. If it's barricaded, there's a very good reason. There's some danger there, and we don't want to see anybody get hurt.
And we got just about a minute. There's a kids' duathlon coming up.
Oh, really a fun time. This is the fourth annual kids' duathlon. It'll be on October 7th. It's up at Avamore at the Heritage Foothills Park. It's a run and a bike event for kids ages 3 to 12. It's you have to provide your own bike and helmet, and there's lots of other things that you can do as a family. You can register online, and you don't have to be a resident of Avamore.
That's good.
Yeah. I've been to every one of them so far.
They're fun.
They won't let me race with the kids. But it seems the crowd seems to get bigger and bigger every year, so I think there's more folks coming in from the from outside the neighborhood. But since it starts at 9:30, if you can probably register up there, so get up there a little early. But it's loads of fun. They're getting more food trucks.
Duathlon is a triathlon with no swimming.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Two big events. You'll see me on a trike.
Jim Tibbs, commissioner,
or a root ball.
Ride the root ball. Thanks for coming in, Commissioner Tibbs, and we appreciate your time today on KBOI.
Thank you.
More to come. It's 8:56.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Say, Larry H. Miller is Idaho's number one volume Honda dealer.
KBOY News Time is 9:07. This is Idaho Talks Live. The president yesterday dissolved two of his economic advisory councils after a rash of CEOs began to resign, and all of that was in the wake of his response and additional comments to the events that occurred in Charlottesville, Virginia last Saturday. Rather than putting pressure on the business people of the Manufacturing Council and Strategy and Policy Forum, I am ending both, the president tweeted. Thank you all. His tweet came just moments after two more executives announced their resignations from his Manufacturing Council on Wednesday. Leaders of another council called the Strategic and Policy Forum said they were disbanding the body because the Charlottesville debate had become a distraction to their purpose. As our members have expressed individually over the past several days, intolerance, racism, and violence have absolutely no place in this country and are an affront to core American values, the group said in a statement. We believe the debate over forum participation has become a distraction from our well-intentioned and sincere desire to aid vital policy discussions on how to improve the lives of everyday Americans.
It's amazing.
These are essentially corporations that, at least for a short time, feel they have to distance themselves from a pro-business president. So for the administration, that makes it look like this is a fairly serious thing. I don't think that necessarily the president is going to give that any credence. But
other people are.
Yeah. Well, Intel and was it Under Armour were two of the first companies to pull out, and they got a lot of praise for doing so.
Mm-hmm.
These companies, they were saying, you know, the first few companies that left, they said, we have employees of all ethnicities. They sell to consumers of all races, and they have human resources policies that clearly take a stand against any kind of racism or bigotry. I don't know. This is kind of dangerous. And it's kind of weird, too, for the president, simply because his last name is a brand. Mm-hmm. You know, and it has been a brand for 40 years or better. I don't know. If you have a brand, you don't necessarily want your brand to become corporate kryptonite. And if people start distancing themselves from your brand, then your brand will have little or no value eventually. But he made his statements, and he said that there was more than one side to that fight down there. As it turned out, the other side had a permit to be there as well. We found that out yesterday. Nobody had said that. Both sides did have a permit to be there. Nobody had a permit to fight, but, you know, things happen. And somebody from the one side also drove a car into a crowd. And so all of that was
once you start breaking the law, it doesn't matter if you have a permit or not.
But I think to be just on the safe side, a whole lot of people just wanted to hear the president say, in his very first statement on Saturday, Nazis bad, white supremacists bad, racism bad. And he said racism was bad, but didn't single out anybody. And people complained. And then so the next day he mentioned the KKK. He mentioned the neo-Nazis. And people started to say, well, it was your first impression that's important. And so basically he had this press conference yesterday and kind of blew up at people, you know, saying, yeah, it doesn't matter what I say, you people aren't going to like it, which is kind of what being a politician is all about.
Yes.
There are certain people who are not going to like anything you say, and some people are going to like everything you say. But a whole lot of the people in the middle are going to question about half of it.
Yeah, and there's really no way he can win with the white nationalists because they're not... How closely aligned does he want to be with these guys?
Well, the average politician would, and of course, once again, we point out he's not the average politician because until he ran for president, he really had no experience with politics or any kind of affiliation with politics.
True.
That we know of. And so he's not the average politician. He doesn't do things like the average politician. But there are some things that politicians learn to do over time, one of which is diplomacy. And diplomacy involves saying what you mean and getting your point across without necessarily making half the people in the country angry.
Yep.
You know, and you can
which is a real danger
you can take a stand, but you do have to be able to explain what you're doing in a way that just doesn't say you people are all wrong and you're fake news and this is dumb. And, you know, and I say that based on the fact that none of the other presidents have ever done that.
Yeah.
And congressmen don't do it because they always want to be reelected.
Yeah.
There's just a certain
and
amount.
They need to be funded.
There's a certain amount of decorum that is expected, a certain amount of diplomacy. And, if he doesn't want to do that, that's completely up to him. He can be the kind of president he wants to be. However, it's starting to look like some of the Republican congressmen are starting to drop off the bandwagon. And the more Republicans drop off his bandwagon, the less he's actually going to get done. Because he needs Congress to pass things.
Yeah.
You can't do everything with an executive order.
They're saying participation with Trump has become a distraction after Charlottesville.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, a lot of the people, probably, you know, most of the people on the left, but people on the left were tweeting at all of these different companies and saying, you know, we're going to boycott the longer you stay in there and add your reputation to Trump's, the worse your reputation is going to become, and the more likely we are to boycott your products. And a lot of the people said, well, I don't need that. Now, to be fair, more than half of the companies were going to stay at the table and see if they could, you know, suggest some things and change some things. Mm-hmm. But the president saw a certain number dropping off, and, you know, you had to believe it was getting a little embarrassing, regardless of whether he says so or not. Mm-hmm. So he went ahead and just disbanded both of the committees.
Probably had to.
KBOY News time is 9:14. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
KBOY News time, 9:19. Our word for today is fair, F-A-I-R.
That's
since
fair.
Tomorrow is the beginning of the Western Idaho Fair. It'll be the first of 10 consecutive days tomorrow. And don't forget, as we said, Monday, they're going to open an hour early at 10 a.m. so people can be at the fair and watch the eclipse if you like to, you know, be on the top of a ride or something.
I'm worried about what word we're going to use tomorrow.
Yeah, good point. The rate of opioid drug overdose deaths among older teenagers in the United States, older teenagers being 19, 18, 17, has taken a turn for the worse, according to a new federal report. And they included in there the 14-year-olds, or the 16 and 15-year-olds as well, not 14 or 13. The number of drug overdose deaths among 15 to 19-year-olds rose 15% for males from 2014 to 2015 and 35% for
That's
females.
Huge.
It is, from 2013 to 2015. And these are opioids. These are painkillers, essentially.
Right.
Some over-the-counter. I mean, not over-the-counter, but some prescription. And also heroin is in there, according to the report from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But the disturbing numbers may not simply be a case of the well-publicized epidemic of opioid painkiller abuse spreading to another age group. These trends fit into the overall picture. Overdose of opioid pills is the biggest problem among middle age and older age groups, while heroin and heroin contaminated by fentanyl are a huge problem among younger people, according to Dr. Daniel Ciccaroni, who is a professor at the University of California, San Francisco, and he studies drug use. The report from the Centers for Disease Control's National Center for Health Statistics looked at drug overdose deaths among people aged 15 to 19 from 1999 to 2015. According to the report, the drug overdose death rate more than doubled from 1999 to 2007, then fell by about a quarter from 2007 to 2014 among 15 to 19-year-olds, and particularly males, but then has been going back up again.
Bummer.
Drug companies are under, it says here, an enormous amount of pressure.
Where do they get these drugs without prescription?
To become part of the solution. I don't know where the original drugs come from. Somebody sells them to somebody.
Foreign countries.
And then they distribute them and sell them to somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
Drug makers and distributors are facing a barrage of lawsuits over opioid epidemics. The nation's largest pharmacy benefit manager just announced it will limit the number and strength of opioid drugs prescribed to first-time users as part of an effort to curb an epidemic affecting millions of Americans. Christy Taylor is somebody who is on the front line of the battle against the opioid epidemic. She and her husband run a 70-bed addiction recovery center in Houston, Texas. And she says that 90% of the people coming to them for help have an opioid addiction. She kind of broke it down. She said it with 90% of them, it's opioids. About the other 10%, it's things like cocaine and meth. And there is absolutely no one coming to them that's addicted to marijuana. Because as we pointed out, most people's problem with marijuana is that you get together with people who do that and you end up doing other drugs.
True. Let's go to Evan of Eagle. Evan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Just a couple comments regarding all that's been going on the last few days. As far as our president, the only thing I think that he said wrong, and he has a tendency to find something to say wrong, something wrong about most things, is he stated that there were fine people, quote, on both sides in Charlottesville. Well, you can't say that there are fine people on the side of neo-Nazis, the KKK, white supremacists. Now, you could say there were bad people on both sides, but there were not fine people on both sides.
And you'd be okay with that, because people would know you mean that Antifa or Antifa group. You know, that they claim to be anti-fascist, but essentially what they do is show up to rallies and start fights. So, you know, and those people. Then you had other people that were simply there to protest the fact that there were Nazis in town.
Absolutely. But to say, I mean, he's just emboldening the radicals, you know, the supremacist KKK types by saying there were fine people on their side. Because if you are willing to march with that type of thinking, you have lost your fineness. I don't care if you're there for something else, but you're marching with that group. There's no fineness. I'm sorry. It's gone. You've given it up.
I saw a survey the other day. They had, I'm not sure where they had found all of them, but they had asked a certain number of people who were over the age of 90 what they thought of the whole thing. And of course, these are people over the age of 90 who remember, you know, they were adults during World War II. So a lot of them fought in World War II, or at least had, you know, something to do with it, or they were in high school. And they were appalled that there were even still Nazi groups. They said, you know, Nazis are something that Americans are completely against, you know, every single thing they do, every part of them. And yet here were these guys in Nazi uniforms running around. And as far as they're concerned, those younger people in the Nazi uniforms don't even understand half of what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, and just one other quick comment, then I'll go. As far as the Confederate statues, monuments, whatever, I would ask everyone to do a little research and see what Robert E. Lee said about erecting statues, monuments to the Confederacy.
Okay.
He was entirely opposed. He said in a nation divided, needing to heal, did not need reminders of a bad time in their history.
And to be fair, I think almost every monument to him was put up long after he died.
Exactly. But he was completely opposed to anything that reminded it was time for the nation to reunite. And he did not want any reminders of the division.
And we talked about this the last few days, too. We need to get to a break here. But most of the monuments were put up. Thanks for the call, by the way. Most of the monuments were put up at different times, many years after the Civil War. One during a time right after Plessy versus Ferguson, when they decided that separate but equal, in other words, segregation was still okay. And people wanted to celebrate that. So they put up Confederate statues. And then in the 1950s and 60s, when the civil rights movement was going with Dr. Martin Luther King, they put up more of them. So a lot of them were, as I said earlier, just big middle fingers. It's 9:26. We'll be back.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
9:37 at 670 KBOI. David Allen in for Paul Jay as he goes to take his hearing test, I think.
Is what?
What? Let's.
I missed that.
It's 208-336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. Let's go to the phones. John in Nampa, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Good, good. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, yeah, happy eclipse weekend.
Yes, it's going to be so exciting.
I can't wait. I don't know what to make of it. I got to work that day, and I don't know what I'm going to do.
I'm just going to keep working that day, I think.
Well, they said it's going to be like the snowpocalypse type traffic getting around, and that was pretty horrible.
Yeah, I was going to say. Luckily for me, my job keeps me in the office from 10:30 to 12:30, so I don't have to be on the road.
Air conditioning in the summertime and warm a heater in the wintertime, right?
Exactly.
Well, okay, so on to my stuff. What the last guy that just commented was trying to say that Donald Trump was apologizing for the Nazis, if I heard him right. And that is not at all what the president's comments were, too, is from what I understood. There was a group of people that wanted to take down the statues, and there's a group of people that did not want to. And there was good people in both of those groups, is what he's referring to. So what's happening now, and I'm starting to see a pattern ever since the election, there's these groups, these hate groups that come out, and they stand over by the people that are in opposition to, you know, the media or the Democrats. And so now all you have to do is say, well, we're going to have a protest, and we're going to protest, let's say, abortion. And the other side will say, well, okay, we'll get some Nazis, and you go stand over by those people and scream. Now you've all of a sudden equated the anti-abortion people with Nazis or with whatever protest you happen to be engaged with. And the biggest striking evidence of this that I saw was right after the election, all of a sudden there was these spontaneous riots going off like crazy. Where did these people come from? And it's been found out that they were paid to do this, but they were paid to riot if Hillary Clinton won, so it would look like the Trump people or that the Republican Party were a bunch of racists. And just,
what's your source on that?
Source on what?
On the fact that they were paid to do that.
There was people who admitted to being paid, and they were waiting in the.
I mean, where did you hear about it?
On the news.
Which news?
I don't know. It got buried as soon as it came out. If you go on Google it,
I'm just saying I didn't hear it, and I watch the news all the time, so I was curious which news you were watching.
Which is confusing because I watch the news all the time and I see stuff that you say you never saw. I don't. Yeah,
but that's why I'm asking you, what news do you usually watch?
Well, the station for most of it, but channel NBC.
Okay.
NBC usually.
All right.
And there was a short piece out where this guy was talking about he saw all the bus people in. So it was organized way before the election that these people were bussed in. At least three buses of people of rioters were bussed in from somewhere, and that's the part they couldn't find out, where these people come from. They couldn't track them down. They did track down a few payments, and it's been tied to George Soros. Now, that connection is dubious because you can't – I mean, he's covered his tracks very well. It's just one of those rumor things.
Yeah, he's like
but
Trump.
But somebody with money paid these people, mm-hmm. is all we do know.
Right.
And they were – and one of them screwed up and tagged a wall with a something referencing Trump against – now we're going to get even with the race, the blacks or something. I don't know what it was, but he stuck to the talking points that he was given before the election.
Let's get back to Charlottesville very quickly.
Okay.
Do you believe that the Nazis were paid by the left to be there?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't think they were because I've
seen a lot of interviews with them, and all of them seem to be some seem to be actual Nazis.
You don't have to pay him much. I mean, a case of beer, you know.
Well, I mean, who told David Duke to show up and praise
exactly.
Trump?
Exactly. See, that's another case in point.
Yeah.
David Duke is a registered, you know, communist, as was Robert Byrd. And all they do is say, hey, David Duke, go stand over by the Republicans and you'll make them look like a bunch of racists. That's a concerted effort. That's designed to do that.
So it's all a conspiracy against the against Donald Trump.
It's not even, no. Oh. Donald Trump just happens to be the guy in the bullseye right now. It's against all the Republicans.
Okay.
All right, John.
I appreciate that.
They are capitulating, too.
I appreciate that.
They don't want to get, am I done?
No. You're still going.
They don't want to get tagged with that Nazi flag, so they will bend over backwards to prove that they're, which is what they want them to do.
All right, John.
I don't believe they're a bunch of Nazis.
Thanks for checking in today. We appreciate it, man. Have a great day.
I would wonder, you know, who paid their families to disown them after they found out they were, well, I guess, paid Nazis.
Jim in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Morning. Fine, thanks. How are you doing?
Doing well today. Thank you.
I'd like to relate what I think is kind of a cool experience I had.
Sure.
Now, in 1984, I came here from Alameda, California. And when I was in Alameda, I played in the band, Alameda Community Band. And our band director, Mr. Hewitt, had this piece of music, and it was called Glorious Things of the Year Spoken by Haydn. It was Austrian. And so we also used to play at Memorial Day services, but Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken was appropriated by Germany as Deutschland über alles. Da, 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 da. Anyway, Mr. Hewitt, you know, we would play that at Memorial Day ceremonies, and I thought that was the coolest thing. Nobody said anything. No veteran said anything. It was a piece of music. And it's kind of like Abraham Lincoln requesting Dixie after the Civil War.
Which he did.
Yeah. And it was just a piece of music. I mean, I love it. Glorious Things of the Year Are Spoken by another name might be Deutschland über alles. So, I don't know.
Well, it's like, what is it? My Country, 'Tis of Thee is actually the British national anthem.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that it's kind of like, and no, like I say, nobody said anything about it. And I said, I'm just thinking as I'm playing it, here we are, you know, at a U.S. Memorial Day ceremony playing Deutschland über alles, you know, so.
All right, Jim, thanks for checking in.
Yes, it's a little weird.
Thanks. I saw Jim and his band. They opened for Aerosmith in like 78.
Yeah, I remember it that. It was the Cow Palace.
It was great, yeah. It was a really great show.
Bob wrote in to say, Chris, Trump was saying that the fine people in the other side were the people who didn't want the statues torn down, not fine people on the white supremacist side. Yeah, I mean, what Trump was doing, well, okay, the thing is, what people are having a problem with is that he was essentially judging the crowd by its nicest members, not by its most violent and most hateful members, and they don't believe that's the appropriate thing for the president to be doing, you know, not to continually talk about the people that that may have been there for, you know, simply just, you know, good old patriotism and history and stuff like that, because the way he's explaining it, and again, you know, I talked about this the other day. I said free speech is free speech, and hate speech is some of the free speech that's actually always been protected by the Constitution. It's rude, it hurts people, but it is free speech. Okay, and I talked about that, but it seems like he's making excuses rather than, you know, completely saying that the Nazis are, you know, are not a good thing, that, you know, non-Nazis don't belong in America, et cetera, et cetera. He's just acting like, well, it's just people with a different opinion, which to a certain extent is true. But, you know, like I said, everybody over 90 said, you know, why are we still fighting the Nazis? We took care of that a long time ago.
You would have thought so anyway. 9:46, I see breaking news. We'll have more on Top of the Hour. Van plows into a crowd in Barcelona.
So Spain now.
So vehicles as weapons have become the modus operandi lately. 9:46, you're listening to 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
9:51, welcome back to the show. David and Chris with you. Let's go back to the phones. Jim and Meridian. Jim, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. You know, the Virginia governor never asked for federal help. He didn't call out the National Guard or declare martial law like we had a few times in the 1960s. He never said that we in Virginia can't handle this. So there's no constitutional basis for the president to say anything at all. And in his position, I probably wouldn't. He could speak as a private citizen like any other American citizen, but there's no constitutional basis for him to be commenting on this incident. And this ongoing and continuing criticism of the president is purely leftist media driven. It's contrived.
I'm looking at a story here, and I don't know how this affects what you just said, but the Virginia governor did declare a state of emergency as alt-right supporters and counter-protesters clashed.
And those are typically local, like for that county, or, you know, we've had those in Idaho, we've had those as well. But, I mean, he did not specifically ask for federal help. So there's no constitutional basis for the president to be involved.
You're right, because it says here the state response to violence.
Quick question. I've just been asking several people this. Can you name anything that Donald Trump has done since his inauguration that you think is a bad idea?
Is a bad idea? There have been some. I think he has, this is one, he's spoken out on things and tweeted on things that were inappropriate and he shouldn't have done.
Okay.
The one that comes to mind is or maybe that was during the campaign with the Muslim couple who had a son in the military.
Yeah, that was in the campaign.
I don't think I would, you know, I would give condolences or something. I was a veteran myself, and that should have been it. I think that was a big mistake to do that. But he makes mistakes, mm-hmm. and on this one, it was.
Yeah, I mean, everybody does, right?
I think speaking at all on this incident was a mistake because there's no constitutional basis for it. I mean, he has no involvement.
All right, Jim, thanks for checking in today. We appreciate it.
It could be. I'm just curious about that because I get some instant messages from people who don't see that he's made a single mistake in his entire life. And so I am just curious what people think.
953, Randy in the Magic Valley. You're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Good. You caught me off guard there. Quickly, a couple things here. You know, before Obama was elected president, you know, race relations were there, but they seem to be simmering and not boiling like they are now. And, you know, however you want to say it, you know, I think Obama, you know, poked and prodded that situation to create the division. You know, that's my opinion. I believe there's evidence to show it. In fact, I know there is. So that's just an observation. You know, when you have paid protesters, there is definitely evidence to show that these protesters were paid. Even here in Twin Falls, Idaho, there was people witnessed people being paid to protest, and they really didn't even know what the hell they were doing other than they were told to show up and they would get paid to hold a sign. And so, you know, this is happening across the nation, you know, whether or not we want to believe it or not, it's true. And then, of course, when the Southern Poverty Law Center says that Idaho is a prejudice, this whatever we are, and I'm sure you've already hit it this morning. I'm sorry I didn't wasn't able to listen. But the Southern Poverty Law Center wouldn't know Idaho if it slapped them in the face, or Idahoans. You know, as well as I do, I live in this, I've lived here all my life, and I go to Boise all the time. And whether or not, no matter where I'm at in this state, these people here in this state are not prejudiced.
Yeah. That was just based on the number of white supremacy groups that are registered here.
Thanks for the call, Randy. We appreciate it. We're down to like 20 seconds in the show. I'm sorry.
And Montana had the most, Idaho had the second most, and then the third most were in Mississippi. Yeah, and it's completely on what they... You know, like the Aryan Nations, they consider them to be a white supremacy group, and mm-hmm. and neo-Nazis and KKK and things like that. So according to the statistics that they had yesterday, Montana had the most registered groups. And it doesn't mean, you know, that, I mean, some of those could be groups of two. I don't know.
Yeah, that's just it. Yeah.
They could be a group of a million, for all I know. But Montana had the highest number of registered groups. Idaho was second. Mississippi was third. And then I think everybody else was in the South, too.
Coming up after the news, where you'll hear about the now it's two armed men enter a restaurant after a Barcelona clash. Rush Limbaugh will be on 670 KBOI.